This is a homebrew podcast.
Everyone, I am still getting situated here.
There we go.
I just saw Pippin's image. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had a couple of technical difficulties this stream, y'all.
Yeah. So, just gonna quickly, since you guys can't hear me and we can't figure out how to make you hear me, I'm just gonna mute so that I hear what you hear. That may affect my gameplay because I won't hear like angry fish swimming toward me. I'm actually gonna put it on just a tiny bit so that I can hear that. So welcome everyone to the first OnlyFins of 2024. We are obviously a couple people down tonight, so we're going to stream some Subnautica and talk some OnlyFins questions. Mackie, welcome to your first OnlyFins. Got one episode under your belt. Now it's time for this.
Woo! I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah.
Oh, shucks. No pressure, no pressure.
You just listened to the whole show, right?
I mean, you know, yeah. The whole thing, all of it.
in the past day.
And yeah, exactly.
Or opinions.
You know, it's a show, and the audio is great. And I think that you guys are all dope. If I just gush a moment. I'm just super excited to be involved, to get to hang out with you fine people. I'm really super excited, and the world and characters that y'all have created. I'm ready to go.
Right.
And on that note, let's do something completely different. So.
Right. Exactly.
Well, I suppose there's a couple of questions that always seem to come up with the people that listen to the show. My big question is, would you have gone with Zachariah or would you have gone with Jack in the big split?
I cannot make a firm answer on that at this point in time. Please do not question me like this. I will start to cry.
Well, I feel like you have to decide.
Oh,
even
man.
With no information. I'm here.
Nothing. Out, so. I'm just going to then make the blanket decision Zachariah solely because
Bullshit.
My husband's name is Zach. How about that? Is this what you wanted to do?
This is the worst option.
This is what I wanted, but this is fine. We're enemies.
It's the worst reasoning. I'm going to go with Zachariah.
How about this? I'll go with Jack because that rhymes with Zach. Same thing. It's just.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm just being same a weird name verse. Loyalist. That's all. The only.
It truly was the bromance that couldn't be. It just fell apart.
Oh, man.
Yeah, just like Zachariah's skeleton.
Okay, well, now I've got to start rushing.
Yeah. If you happen to find this stream because you're looking for Subnautica playthroughs, this is not what we normally do. I'm glad that you're here. I hope you like what we normally do. Just in case there's someone out there who finds us for that reason, we're a tabletop role-playing game actual play podcast. On most of our weeks, we're live on every other Thursday night playing through a D&D campaign that I've put together with these three fine folk, along with two other people who couldn't join us tonight. I'm not going to try to explain the whole campaign. Just like go watch it if that interests you. Tonight, because we're down a couple people, I'm playing through some Subnautica just to keep kind of the nautical theme going. And we're discussing a bunch of questions, like meta questions about the show, specific character questions, pseudoscience, stuff that's not related to the show at all, movies, etc. And just having a good time with each other for a couple hours. So we're glad you're here, whether currently or in post, and we hope you join us for our regular show. Conversely, if you're not familiar with Subnautica, all you need to know is I got crash landed on an ocean planet and I have to find a way to survive. So that's what I'm doing while we're hanging out.
Yeah. Well, I think we have some questions to answer as well. Obviously, we probably don't want to just shotgun all the questions, but
yeah,
we just had them. They're somewhere.
Looks like I'm running a little laggy, so I'm going to try to reload this real quick. But yeah, our I collated some questions from the chat. Ellen wanted to know. Hi, Ellen. Glad that you can join us in the chat. Wanted to know what powers the boat of Sankuriang would have had if it didn't freaking burn.
That is a good question.
Yeah.
I found myself wanting to know that and not knowing wanting to know that.
And not wanting to know that? Mm-hmm. Don't know what you're missing out on.
Yeah.
Well, we never got to know. So I do understand why it's kind of hard to, it would have let you go to space and it would have given you immortality and, you know, it would have cured all diseases and brought peace to the earth. But considering that we also, don't get to ever find out what it does, it would be nice to just know what we're missing out on, I guess. I don't know. I'm split too, but I'd rather know than not.
Yeah. Is this better? I'm looking, it is a little laggy, but I think it's better than it was. About the same?
Probably about the same. It's still pretty laggy.
Okay.
It has moments.
Yeah, let me try one more thing. Right. I mean, I would hope so. It's a water world.
When you first were playing it, it didn't seem as laggy, and then it went really choppy there for a minute.
Okay. Yeah, let me try one more thing. As for what the boat would have done, I know, destroy your going to outer space boat. Cody, you have access to it there. So while I'm tinkering with the hardware, software here, can you share what the boat would have done? Pippin, if you disconnect or plug your ears or whatever, that's...
Oh, sure.
No, I was just being me. I mean, if everybody else is learning, I want to know what I'm missing out on.
Let's see, the old Whom the Sea Belongs game.
Oh, I think it's copied on that same document, right? Right below the question.
Oh. Is it? Is it now? Oh, yep. There it is. So let's see. Up to 6 creatures can attune to the boat. It's pretty typical. If one or more of the creatures already has attunement, then the new creature that try to attune can only do... Okay, I see. So you can't just, run up and attune to it like that joke at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy where Ronan's just like, we're the Guardians of the Galaxy, and then he reaches in and grabs it too.
Right.
So you can't just do that. Once we're attuned, we also have to write a contract and give you permission. That's pretty standard magic totem, magic artifact affair. While attuned and within 300 feet of the boat, you can trigger the following powers by extending the right number of charges. So polymorph self, speak with animals, speak with plants, control water. Control water would have been a real handy one, especially with the other boat that we got, the other thing that we got. We could give ourselves haste, we could fly, and then we could just control the water. So when we would be just flying across the ocean at that point, if we would have, and if Jack was on board, wind in the sails, it would just be fucking nuts. But so much for that boat. No more boat. If we were to,
economic code.
Yeah, right. If we were to have a bunch of items, it starts to do more stuff. So we have 2. So theoretically, we could cast Druidcraft. That's not too crazy. Druidcraft is fun, but it's not too crazy. The boat regains 1d2 charges each dusk. So now we just have an auto-recharging boat. We don't have to, put hit dice into it. create and destroy water at three, which is something that Jack knows how to do, but is pretty handy. You know, if the boat starts to fill with water, you can destroy like 10 gallons of water or something like that. I mean, that would be handy. I played a lot of Sea of Thieves and feel like if I could just walk down there and snap my fingers and 10 gallons were gone, that would change some things.
Yeah.
Gain control weather, which costs 12. Okay, I mean, that the boat has a maximum of 12 charges. But for 12 charges, you could literally control the weather. So,
and I think that's like an 8th level spell, right? That's up
right
there. Yeah.
That's a pretty powerful spell. Yeah. From there, it mostly just gets more charges back faster.
Yeah.
And
maximum increases to 16 at one point.
Right. I mean, that would be pretty crazy. It would be handy to have that. But we don't anymore. It's not an option. Also, this last one just can't happen now.
Right. The last item, the boat fuses with the other items and turns into the Jushbatar Lyre. Yeah, so much for that.
Yeah. I still think we're fine. I think it's possible that, I mean, this is just a crazy theory, but I think it's possible that we could always just find a new item. Because they, I mean, if I understand the nature of the item correctly, it's just beyond our comprehension. It doesn't mean that it's totally fucked. Like, if my car is broken, I can't fix it. But there is a guy who knows a lot about cars who can be like, oh, no, that's the alternator. I just swap the alternator, boom, fix it. Jushbatar Lyre.
Right.
Then the car transforms into the Jushbatar Lyre. And
it's a dark matter flux capacitor.
Yeah, I mean, who knows what it is? For all I know, it's actually impossible to fix. But I do think that it's either we're not going to need it, or there's a way to fix it. Those are my game theories.
All right.
Jack's pretty confident that we're just not going to need it because we're going to win. But, you know.
Those are the Cody theories, not the Jack theories necessarily. Yeah. All right. Well, we've got some questions that I got from people ahead of time. We've got some questions in the chat on our Discord, discord.gg/thehomebrewpodcast or the Homebrew Network. So you can join us there if you're not. Otherwise, we'll work through those questions. Those of you who are with us live in chat, feel free to ask questions as well. Maybe that my system is just going to lag with this game. So I may try again in a minute or two, and if it doesn't work, we'll just talk without the game stimulation as well.
Sure.
Yeah, and that is sad. Like,
graphics down if you haven't already.
Oh, okay, yeah, let me try that. I really like this game. I have thalassophobia, or I had thalassophobia. I don't know if I still do because of this game.
Really?
It was very, very difficult for me to get through it. But I became more and more comfortable with like ocean stuff in general as I did. So remains to be seen how much that translates into the real world.
Yeah. So if it, in real world, absolutely not. Fucking no way. I do think it would be fun to be on a boat, but being in the open ocean, 100% not. No.
Yeah,
I ain't getting in the water in the open sea. That just ain't happening. Maybe I'd be on a boat. I don't know. I feel like I'd have to be dragged. But it is kind of
You're missing out.
Are you a boater?
I mean, kind of, sort of. I grew up on the coast, and my dad's like whole side of the family is like sailors and boatsmen and merchant marines and like all sorts of stuff. So yeah, I've been exposed to enough of it that I think it is definitely terrifying, but it's also, there's something kind of like mysterious and cool about it.
Yeah.
Right.
I definitely, I've been told a million times, you should play Subnautica. It's like one of the best games. But I just get so freaked out by the just vast emptiness of the, like when I keep seeing like screenshots of it or whatever, and I'm like, man, I don't know, that would freak me out. I can play Sea of Thieves because you're on a boat. I don't know why that fixes it.
Because you're going fast, Dan.
And you're on a boat, and I can jump in the water and see Thieves too, but they added these like mermaid levels where you have to swim to the bottom of the ocean to get to the mermaid stuff, and that kind of still freaks me out a little bit. I'm just like, man, I don't know about this, because there's just like a long stretch of time where you're like, am I going up? Am I going down? You know, it just like turns to blue.
It's looking a little better. We'll see. I mean, I would, regardless of whether this works, if we're able to like keep playing it tonight or not, I would definitely recommend people check it out. You know, don't force yourself to play it if it does freak you out. But like, if you force yourself through it, there's something really fun and special about it. I really, really enjoyed my first playthrough. Is this why I set my my horror game world in the freaking ocean? There's definitely some truth there. Not intentionally, but yeah, this is something that terrifies me, or that has terrified me. Maybe in some way it's kind of like therapeutic to face my fear as the inflictor of this fear on someone else. That sounds terrible. Wow.
Wow.
But yeah, maybe, I don't know. Is that looking any better, or is it still too laggy, do you think?
It's very choppy.
Yeah, yeah. It's still pretty choppy.
All right. Yeah, I think we're going to give up on this then.
C'est la vie.
Yeah. This is something we were talking about before we hopped on and started streaming. What is your favorite energy drink?
Well, I really don't like many of them, or any of them. I'm more of a Mountain Dew guy.
I kind of count Mountain Dew. Like, I know it's technically a soda, but
those are different.
I mean, there's a lot of caffeine, though, and a lot of sugar.
Yeah.
Sure.
Someone wrote Hudson on this document. Is Hudson Cody's favorite energy drink?
What? I guess. I don't like the sound of that.
Did Pippin write Hudson? Who wrote Hudson?
I don't know where that came from. He's also the answer to the next question.
I will honestly admit, it's like, I don't even know where the document is, so I'm not looking at
it. He's the answer to the energy drink because I copy-pasted the previous. Okay.
What's Hudson's favorite energy drink? Rum.
Of course, yeah, obviously.
What's Jonathan's? Do you know?
If it's not also rum, I don't know. I would guess Red Bull, but I'm not sure. Mine is Monster, specifically like the white can, zero sugar Monsters. They do the trick for me.
Fair enough.
Yeah. If I'm really looking for energy, I basically have to drink coffee. That's like the only thing that does it for me.
Yeah.
That's the best. I would also agree. This all came about because I've been on a Prime kick, and I have one. And this is not an endorsement by any means, but it is tasty. But yeah, I typically am more of a coffee drinker when I really, really need to like perk up.
Yeah. I mean, Barks is good too. That's a...
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the only mainstream caffeinated root beer, from what I understand?
Yep.
Yeah.
Part of why I like it, yeah. I think they also do the red cream soda. And that stuff is fucking straight fire.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I feel like I gotta support the company in general.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's how it goes?
Yeah, because for a while there, I was pretty into... what is it, the mug root beer, because of the, mm-hmm. the viral marketing was just too good. So I had to drink it ironically.
Yeah. For a while there, this is a little bit related, just because it went viral. I would eat almonds a lot. And I'd have like a plastic bag of almonds that I would put inside a plastic Tide Pod bag. So it would look like I was eating Tide Pods. So I was just walking around.
I have a friend that genuinely he'll say every now and then, he'd be like, damn kids today eat Tide Pods. And I'm like, no, they don't.
I did not. It wasn't like maybe like 20 cases tops where actually like somebody attempted to or tried to.
I suppose some people do.
It's children. Their brains aren't know how many, growing all the way yet. I have an acquaintance
who did. It was not Jonathan. But I'm not going to like name names, but I do know someone who did. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, well, you named Jonathan, and as you only had two people in the show that you knew very well not in IRL. Alex. it has to be Alex now.
Not someone any of you would know, but I'm not going to say names on YouTube for like eternity.
It is now Alex, officially in my book.
It is not.
He's over in Paris right now eating some French Tide Pods.
Right.
French Tide Pods.
Yeah. My energy drink, I would have to choose at the moment because a friend's up near Cody, Seneca the Woods, is white gummy bear flavor. It's pretty dope.
Nice.
Isn't that what Tyrell
drinks? No, it's a white gummy bear, or just gummy bears, and there's another one that's white something. I don't remember. But it's delicious. Sean and Tyrell both.
Nice.
Yeah, Tyrell really likes those Reigns. I don't think they're bad, but they have the same problem as Monster for me. I don't know. Sure. Monster and Reign kind of taste like what I imagine hummingbird feeder juice tastes like.
Huh.
I don't know why. I know they don't, but that's so just in specific. My mind.
I'm specific. I love it so much. Hummingbird feeder juice, just so you can try that.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that just
they do look good to eat.
It is basically just sugar water.
But it's the red container. It looks delicious.
I can let you drink out of a red container when you drink it.
Yeah, same with dishwasher pods. They're just, it's not quite the right texture. It's not like the gusher. Yeah.
When we used to play D&D live and in person, I always used to stop by the gas station and buy these big jumbo packs of gushers. And one time I got one and they were all like mushed and fused together. And so I was just eating it like a hand fruit. I was just
like an apple.
Yeah, just eating a giant gusher. It was just all going all over my face like Denethor or whatever.
I had a similar experience one time with, have y'all ever had the Albanese gummy bears?
Yes. Familiar?
Yes.
Okay, so you know about the size of that bag and about how many normally come in there. Well, I got a bag one time that literally, like, clearly manufacturing error, wherein it was only purple and lime green gummy bears, and they were all fused together, like, so much so that it was just like a big jelly blob in some places. Yeah. And it was no lie, like the size of my face. Like, I remember pulling this thing out and being like, what is this monstrosity that has befallen?
For we are men.
Exactly. But it's awesome. It's awesome. I did not eat it like an apple, though. I can't say. I was not that brave. I just kind of tore little hunks off of it and then got bored of it.
So would not get the giant gummy bear by itself then?
That's very intimidating to me. That seemed like, I don't, yeah. Like, for the novelty.
For the novelty.
I might, like, just sit it on a shelf but never open it. But yeah, I don't know that I would try to tackle that.
On the topic of energy drinks, because Alex is not here, he described, because, like, he and I are also primarily tea and coffee drinkers, but he described the levels of caffeine you can get from different beverages. In I think it was in like one of our public Discord channels, but like it was, it has always stayed with me because it was poetry. It's you can drink tea, caffeinated tea, English breakfast, Earl Grey, whatever, and that's like waking up in the morning to angels strumming on harps and giving you a kiss on the forehead. Or you can drink coffee, which is like waking up in the morning when someone rips your covers off and spits in your face. Or you can drink an energy drink to wake up, which is waking up to an entire death metal band screaming "Welcome to Hell" in your bedroom.
Nice.
Yeah, and there's something to that.
I agree.
I'm gonna have to go with either option one or three there, because one sounds just pleasant. Three just sounds like it'll get the job done.
Right.
Yeah. No middle ground. Just respect.
I'm not the kind of person that wakes up every morning and drinks a cup of coffee. I'm the kind of person that's like, oh, I gotta stay up late tonight. Where's the coffee?
Yeah.
Oh, no. See, I'm usually coffee first thing. And then at a certain point, I have to tell myself in the day, okay, no more coffee, because you will not sleep. But
I'm both of those. It's morning. It's time for coffee. Wait a second. It's going to be a late night. It's time for more coffee.
I mean, if I have to, for sure. But no.
Chocolate covered espresso beans or whatever.
Ooh, yeah. Those are good.
I don't know if they actually have enough caffeine to do anything. But if I'm feeling like, oh, I need a boost, I pop a couple of those babies, and they do seem to work.
Yeah, placebo. Maybe it's just chocolate, though. Right.
I mean, I think parts.
I watched this YouTube show called Townsends, where this dude makes like 18th century recipes, and I keep sending them to Nathan because I'm like, Bert, cook boiled onions. You gotta put these in the show, Nathan.
I want to try just a plain roast onion so badly. It looks so good.
Right. One of the things he said was that hot chocolate used to be a breakfast drink. Like, you'd wake up and you'd make a cup of hot chocolate because coffee wasn't super common, and it would give you, it was like considered an energy drink. And I was like, well, that's the only excuse I needed was
right. Warm sugar rush in the morning.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, I guess that was like back in like Charles Dickens times or whatever. That was like pretty popular to just wake up and have a hot cup of chocolate.
Yeah. I mean, tea obviously is not native to Britain, but it's famous in Britain because of their empire and oceanic trade. The aristocracy would obviously, like, they drink tea, English breakfast tea, whatever blends they had back then. I'm not sure when English breakfast became like a thing, but the peasantry, in order to appear fancy, would boil bread crusts in water to turn the water brown so that it looked like tea.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's disturbing.
Yeah.
Not just to soften the bread.
Two birds, one stone, I guess. I'll steer us back to sanity damage for a time. Who knows how long before we veer off on something else, but
sure.
Actually, along the way, these teas Ooh. Are in progress. I've been speaking with a representative from the people to like source the tea and stuff. So they are should be squared away this time next week. Like, order is placed and everything has to get to me so that I can ship it out to everyone who orders some. So we're still looking at like late February before it's in your hands. Obviously, that's not me saying it will be that. That's me saying I think it will be around that. Don't like at me if it's a little bit longer. Shipping has been crazy for the past like 6 years. So who knows exactly when it will be. But progress is being made. It's really exciting. For those of you who aren't aware, Alex's character, Clacker Voxen, is a tea critic. He's been sailing all around this fantasy world, consuming teas. And he and I have made a tea, sourced tea for this world. So fictional tea coming to the real world, coming to your table so that you can brew it while you listen to our podcast. So labels are done. The order is like ready. It just hasn't been finalized yet with the company. So yeah, really exciting stuff there. Just wanted to give you all, give you all the update on that. Another question from Ellen, a follow-up to the Boat of Sankuriang from our most recent arc. This is spoilers, so I'm going to give you about 10 seconds to turn the stream off if you aren't caught up. That said, in the most recent arc, when you arrived at the boat and found that it burned and found that you weren't able to rescue it, was that always going to happen, or was there a specific like point in time where I decided that was going to happen? That was the tragic reality of saving Hudson Swift.
I see.
Yeah. His entire thing was inadvertently distracting and slowing down the party from whatever goal they were trying to achieve at the time. And by like having you stop to make repairs in Narrow and then chopping off your masthead and having Moriarty and Clacker spend a day to swim down and recover the mast and rebuild it and all of that. And then I mentioned a couple times that like the voyage from the Debtor's Penance, like once you got the Armada together, once you had two boats, towing the other boat did like add to the weight, just because you didn't have enough of a crew to make both boats.
We made both goats.
To make both boats sail at a normal rate, yeah. So I mean maybe Hudson will provide some other benefit, but he did lose you that boat.
Damn it, Hudson.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I understand. I still feel like that fight was pretty. I mean, we considered going around it, and he came at us, so, and he shot our mast down. So I don't feel too guilty about it.
Yeah. And I mean, the positive spin is that you got another artifact from that fight, and you located another one. Thousand Tooth Tom still has one. Now, he would still have two, and you would have a boat if you skirted around him somehow. But, like, the net number of artifacts in your possession went up from that conflict, but the net likelihood of achieving the lyre also went down. So, yeah, we'll see how it plays out. Be a little while before we get back to that crew. Questions from Sketchy in Discord. How does it feel getting back to the other crew? It's been quite a while.
Right. Feels good, I guess. I mean, I think I like Jack more than Abraham, but Abraham has a certain je ne sais quoi about him. He's got a zest for life. He's a very interesting character to play. I feel like I can be a little bit freer with it. What the fuck, Pippin?
Love it.
It was supposed to be hidden, but it isn't. Now you all gotta wait.
I feel like I can be a little bit more.
This guy floats your goat.
It's so good.
I can be a bit more impulsive on Abraham.
Because you can be more impulsive with Abraham because you have contingencies to get out of kind of any circumstance, right?
Right. Well, I think I've said it a couple. Like when we were swimming down that hallway and everyone was panicking for their lives, Abraham wasn't panicking.
Yeah.
Abraham had a whole deck full of cards to get out of that situation. I didn't even need to breathe. So right. I was fine. I was worried about you guys a little bit, but I wasn't worried that much. That's why I was like, well, let's just wait another turn or two, see what happens. Because if need be, I can always pull a rabbit out of my ass, you know. There's a whole million things that I could do. And he only grows stronger.
Right.
Which brings me to my next question. When do you think the next time we'll get a point that isn't level based? Because as it stands for my build, I pretty much need to dedicate every single level point to the hand, to spellcasting. But I would really love to do some of that, like, experimental stuff that Abraham's capable of.
Right.
And then there's, like, another ability that he has that would... It would just be worth it. Even if you can increase it, like, 2 ranks... But it's like every time I kill something, I get my level in temporary HP or my proficiency bonus. And I'm like, man, even if I just had that, like I kill stuff all the time and +3 or +4 temp HP every time I kill something.
The combo killer.
Yeah, I'm all over the place. So it's just like I could literally just have a little shield up. And I've seen that little shield from like Twilight Cleric. Do a whole shitload of damage negation. So, mm-hmm. like, I think it's Twilight Cleric is the one that just, like, every turn they just, like, give out, like, a D6 of shield HP or something.
Yeah.
And that doesn't sound like much, but it's every turn. Or right. every time I kill something. Which, yeah. against the big bad, wouldn't be that crazy, but some of these fights were fighting 40-plus hands. You know?
Right, yeah. You're on the open seas. You're fighting whole pirate crews. I'm not going to say like when, but I feel
tomorrow.
I feel confident committing to, you getting at least one more on the next like leg of this arc. So aside from just like the normal leveling up ones, like there'll be at least one just from you getting to Shikyodai. It's possible there'll be another one once you're in Shikyodai separate from leveling up, but at least one on the Shikyodai journey.
All right. Cause I do like getting those. Cause mm-hmm. it's not like, you know, how every session Alex will inevitably ask, do we level up?
Yeah.
And you obviously can't level us every time, but a reward is nice.
Yeah. I think for the like second half of the campaign, I probably will be a little more liberal with those points. Like, it's going to be a little bit nightmarish because you guys are going to scale up in power really quickly, and so I'm going to have to scale up in like challenge really quickly. But I think that's just more stuff for us to play with. So
right,
yeah, at least one between now and Shikyodai, and we'll see about more in general moving forward because I do think that's a fun way to like hold you over between level ups.
Sure. And levels, like you said, are going to scale us outrageously. So it's just like a little power boost.
Yeah. Let's see. Bouncing back and forth. I forgot to write down who... Sorry, let me stay close to my mic so I sound normal. I forgot to write down who asked these questions, so I apologize. Is Pete... a cowboy? And if so, since he's a Triton, this was Mr. Jacui. Thank you, Mr. Jacui. Since he's a Triton, does that instead make him a manatee boy? This is much to consider. Obviously, he's a cowboy, or like that's what his design is. If you're not caught up, Pete is an NPC that the characters meet in the most recent episode, or I guess 2 episodes ago at this point. Depending on if you're listening to it in audio form. Absolutely, he's meant to be like a cowboy character. But yes, it is a, like, it's an ocean-based world, and manatees are sea cows. I guess because they're named after what they herd, not what they ride. Otherwise, they'd be called horse boys. So maybe he rides a seahorse and herds manatees in a different life. Or before he became a pirate.
Do manatees like take the place of cows underwater? Or do they like eat them for steaks?
I feel so bad about that because I love manatees.
Some people love cows.
It's a fair question.
Yeah, that's a fair. I like cows too. I guess so. I'm just gonna
manatee.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say manatees are a lot more. There's a much larger global population of manatees in this world than there is in our real world. We can make that some lore. We can say manatees are literally just cows in the ocean.
What the fuck was that?
It was a leg up.
All right.
I'm having too much fun with my pictures.
Well, now figuring I want to try a manatee steak.
Manatee
steak. Also manatee milk then is a real possibility.
Yeah.
This is idea time at its finest. It's good.
Pete's bouncing like, back.
What are you, a milk drinker? Manatee milk drinker?
Bouncing back to questions from Sketchy Squirrel. Maggie, glad to have you. Love the intro you got. Any inspiration for Finn or thoughts going on in your mind to make some of the choices for how you built Finn? Finn's personality, play style?
I don't know. I always kind of try to think about like what kind of character would be fun to play as I'm looking at like the bare bones of obviously like class, race, all that stuff. And when I first like joined the cast, one of the things that I remember, I think it might have been Cody actually said specifically about this group that Finn would be joining in this party is, we need a pirate. That's all he said. And I was like, okay. That's an interesting directive. They need a pirate. And so as I started looking at like that, you know, pirate background and where it could be fun to play with that, that was really the thing that drove a lot of my choices. And finally I was like, you know what? Screw it. Let's just make her a fighter. Let's just go whole hog. The fairy aspect is just because I am me and I can't not add a little bit of like whimsy. And the idea of this little like kind of should be very like broken spirited, but has just like decided to buckle down and just be the toughest thing she can be. Fairy that was raised by pirates. I don't know. It just, the whole concept as it started coming more and more together, I was like, yeah, let's do it. Why not?
Well, I definitely think this party needed some sort of pirate. I mean, Tor is like a sailor, but he doesn't really talk much and he doesn't have a pirate accent.
It is not.
And then, like, the original crew, it's like Jack, sailor, Moriarty. He might be a chef, but he's a boat chef.
Right.
Hudson, sailor. Clacker. He might be a noble, rich, fancy lad who drinks tea, but where does he drink tea?
On a boat.
You know, Zachariah was the odd man out in that group. He was just some guy, you know, or a wizard. He was a skeleton. Spoiler alert, he was a skeleton. But in this group, Zachariah fit right in. It was like, oh, a nun, a girl raised by nuns, a diabolist, a necromancer, you know, and then like a sailor. And Tor was the odd man out.
Gotcha.
And see, so it was like, we really needed a pirate.
No, I love that. And I think it's funny that you like describe it that way, because the other party is very much like kind of what Finn grew up with. So I feel like it's fitting for her to end up on such a polar opposite, because for my mind, I always like to like one of, you know, I like the like striving out on your own story, or you're coming of age. And so now you've been kind of sent out into the world, that concept. And so that's sort of where I imagine her to be. And she just, you know, of course, found herself in the worst possible situation the first opportunity she had. And now is with you guys. It's great. It's great.
Yeah. I think she fits in pretty great.
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
I'm excited to see how she like forms connections with each of the other people in this crew. And this is a question I've asked, I think, everyone. I might not have with Ellen yet. So Ellen, if you're up to it in the chat, feel free to comment too, because if I have asked you this, I don't remember and I apologize. But if there were a live action reproduction of Sanity Damage, who would you have play Finn if you could pick anyone, regardless of age? Like, you could say a young Mark Hamill. I doubt you would for Finn, but like, age is not a concern in this question.
Oh, that's a really good question. Gosh, I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think of like younger actresses right now. I keep coming back to though, what's her name? Chloe Moretz, you know who I'm talking about? I always mispronounce her last name, but she's most recently has been on, I think it's like an Amazon Prime show that's sort of action-y. And it was the first time I really was like, oh, she can actually kind of play that sort of fighter type. She could be cool.
Okay.
I don't know.
I've seen her in something. I can't place it.
She's done a lot. She was a kid actor for a long time.
Kick-Ass?
Yes. That was the other. That was her when she was like genuinely like a kid. But yeah,
like,
she's
like, it's like I knew the person, but I couldn't think of what I'd
say. No, gosh, that's a good question. That's a good question. I'm gonna have to continue to ponder that just a little bit, but I think I think she could be definitely good for it. Yeah.
We just watched Renfield, and the main actor in that. I feel like if we ever did like a movie, a prequel movie that's like the Adventures of Young Abraham, he could play him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was like, you know, he could probably slap on a mustache and play regular Abraham even.
But, yeah, do some like forehead makeup.
Yeah.
Age up just a few years.
He needs to age
put on
up
a disgusting hand.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Wears a glove.
Yeah, just one glove. Like Michael Jackson style.
I just like imagining like the actor actually has to put on the fake disgusting hand and then a glove for every recording.
Well, that's movie magic. That's how it works. I don't know what to say about it. I wear two gloves, by the way, not just one.
You don't do the I'm a Jedi and I have one prosthetic look.
No, I have two gloves. Thank you. They are like white gloves, though. I think I mentioned that really early on when I was describing
Abraham. Yeah, like lacy gloves, right? Like high society.
Yeah.
I think that's why I always think of Michael Jackson, though, is you have the one hand with the white glove and it's like, so I forget about you're actually wearing a set of gloves. It's just one hand and a glove.
There's one hand that's gross, but there's two gloves.
Were you the real trick Maggie is it's going what? Under the
ritual that
I was a little bit. I mean, only because everybody was so against it.
I don't know why they've been against. It's literally a class feature. I've had it like the whole game. I'm like, will someone please take this? I'm not even
sight unseen. I'm like, yeah, sure, go for it. This is.
And it's great on you, too, because you're a fighter, right? So that's like frontline.
Yeah, I'm not mad about it.
You'll run in. Someone's inevitably going to hit you. But I wanted Penelope to take it because I feel like, okay, if anyone ever gets close to the healer, I can push him away.
Right.
And she'll only take like one hit. But, I mean, being on you is fine, too. I'll just use you as a cannon.
To be fair, you brought it up when Griff showed up and tried to make a contract with him.
I asked Penelope first.
I don't
and
remember
she
that,
said no. She gave me a big fat no. And then I looked to the left and I said, okay, how about you, Griff?
That is ringing.
That's yeah, that's right. Cause she was worried about the gross hand.
That checks.
Ellen, are you saying I don't know how to say her first name? Saoirse Ronan for Celine. Saoirse Ronan, thank you. For Celine or for Penelope? I see Celine when I looked her up.
Yeah, that's pretty Irish much how I imagine Celine.
Yeah, it looks like Celine to me.
If she had a big crazy hat with leaves on it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, okay, for Celine, right? Yeah, that'd be really good casting. Let's see. With Sanity Damages History, I think Spaz asked this. Again, I apologize. I forgot to grab people's names. Yeah, Spaz. Okay. Now that there is a new player, which PC is most likely to die?
Love to hear it.
I had my own answer earlier.
Yeah, you're not on. Abraham. Tell you that. Good
Pippin,
luck.
What's your answer?
Well, mine was technically still a PC. It was like it's Hudson, you know, because if our ship goes down,
right,
he's still the most likely to die. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. He is kind of likely to just die already.
Right. He's not in a good spot, and out of everybody's survival chances to get back to shore, the guy with that one hand and one foot is at the bottom of the list.
You know, it's really hard to say because I feel like the Mind Slayer team, they work really great together. Like, there's a lot of like a synergy and teamwork. And we're pushing people into stuff. We're pulling people into stuff. We're healing. We've got a lot of synergy. And especially now with another frontliner, it's like, man, anyone in that team is going to be hard to kill. But then when I think of the other team, it's like freaking Moriarty and Jack and Clacker and Celine. Like, good luck killing them.
Right.
So it's really hard for me to say, oh, this person's going to die right here. You know, I think if anyone dies, it's going to be some sort of freak accident.
I think it comes down to each of the teams work very well together. Most of you are like pretty good at getting out of tight spots. Like, you've got good defensive builds, or you have team members that can do that to you. It looks like Ellen agrees. I think if I have to pick someone, it's got to be Penelope, because she's got that like reckless teenager attitude that could get her in trouble.
Definitely seen it happen.
Yeah.
The flying moment in the courtyard.
For sure.
Case in point.
Right. Yeah, yeah. That was just a lucky, I think, crit on my part. So again, like you said, Cody, kind of a freak accident there. But yeah, I think if I have to pick someone out of the 9 currently like active characters, I would say Penelope.
Being a frontliner is always scary. So, I mean, there's always the risk that just someone up front could get killed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Sketchy, Clacker's a good point, too, because, like, he's got kind of that... He's a frontliner without very good stats, and so he's a little bit squishier than a frontliner his level should be.
Yeah, and he doesn't like to rage, so he takes a lot of extra damage. He doesn't like
to reckless as much. Yeah, although he's been doing a lot of recklesses in the past, like the Sankirian
arc. Yeah,
leaned into that a lot more.
Yeah,
he does like to try and save his rages for as much as possible, though. And I've seen a couple of times where if he would have raged, he wouldn't have taken as much damage.
Yeah,
but
that is the plight of a barbarian.
So I know how it feels when you run out of rage.
It's not fun. And the other fun thing about Clacker with his magic item is he has shield and absorb elements and silvery barbs and counterspell. So he's got that same kind of like avoid damage counterplay going for him.
Can he use those while he's raging?
I don't remember what I have written on his document.
Because Grundle had jump, but you can't cast a spell while you're raging.
Right.
So I like never used it until like the very end.
I remember, yeah, in like the space fight, right? And you just like had your inner, you outpaced the amount of like squares you could go, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, Grant ruled on that rule of cool style. You
got the rule.
But I mean, we were like level 20. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's see. This is just kind of a general question to all of you. What are your goals and aspirations for your characters for the remainder of our campaign here?
Tough question.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, I'm pretty new to this whole thing, so I'm just like, I'm excited to just be here. I'm you know, I'd be curious.
Does it have a aspiration?
I mean, I think if anything, her aspiration is to, like, for lack of a better way to put it, like, make her, like, former pirate crew proud of her. She was, like I said, she was basically raised as sort of like the kid of a pirate crew, and, you know, sort of was able to take on all of these different, you know, personalities and skills as a result of it. And so she sort of wants to be able to go out on her own and do her own thing, but has very much always kind of been, I don't want to give too much away. So, like, she's always been kind of cloistered, though. This is her first opportunity to really like stretch. That. Yeah.
I mean, Jack's got some pretty big ambitions, saving the world and all. Mm-hmm. I mean, Abraham, his ambitions really haven't changed much. Figure out how the Mind Flayers are doing whatever it is they're doing and do it himself, basically. It's kind of crazy that he became kind of a good guy, because he does have kind of fucked up goals.
He's an anti-hero.
I suppose that Abraham's philosophy has always been that it's better to, like, seed evil and corrupt and ruin rather than destroy and mutilate and eviscerate. Like, he's much more of a seeping evil that creeps in and hangs out and, like, gets... He's like a parasite, almost.
Mold.
Yeah, versus the Mind Flayers, who are, like, a virus? They just eat and consume and turn people into more Mind Flayers?
That's like a really good analogy, yeah.
I'm more like a fungus. I do eat and feed off of the decaying ruins of society, but I need there to be decaying ruins to feed on. That's why I didn't want to kill the people in Glitzcliff, or I really wanted to make them our little bitches. But they wouldn't budge.
Yeah, the feeling was mutual, so unstoppable force, immovable object.
Yeah. So what are you gonna do? How about you, Moriarty?
Well, I think it would have to be Tor after, you know, this conversation, you know, with the whole Finn and Abraham. Tor wants to go on this adventure and figure out what the hell's going on with the god and the, you know, Leviathan in his talking in his brain pan. Oh. Gotta figure out that. It's a very confusing situation for our boy.
Yeah. I'm excited to get there and kind of do some lore reveals on that. I'm just not sure how immediately that's going to happen. But
well, I mean, I wanted to say it the other day, and it's like, no, that was like 6 months ago.
Right.
We saw them.
Yeah. Yeah, the other day, as far as Tor is concerned.
It was the other day for Tor.
Let's see. I've got like three more questions here, so I'm going to move through them, but if you're in chat and you think of something else, feel free to pop it in. We'll sneak it in before we wrap up.
You got this cool YouTube chat thing right there.
Yeah. Last one from Sketchy Squirrel in Discord. Nathan, it was fun to see the sideways backwards interaction with the other crew. Any fun ideas or plans to play with that going forward? Because you're in chat, I'm going to ask clarification. Sideways backwards, do you mean like the message? Celine and and Penelope speaking with each other? Correct me if that's not what you're talking about, but assuming that is, I would love to keep doing that kind of interaction. I think it's fun for there to be some kind of like touchstone so that you can see where the parties are at in perspective to one another. It is possible that this won't happen, but I intend for there to be at least a couple more times where the entire parties like come together and get to have like a whole 10-person round table where they plan their next steps. There could be potential for the parties to kind of reconfigure a little bit based on what's needed for different missions. Especially once we get toward like the end game arc, like the last couple legs of the journey, like there'll probably be a lot more strategy involving all of the different party characters. So we're still a little ways out from that, but I think that the kind of interaction you saw where all, I think it was 10 at that time too, because Fab and Griff were still part of it. Where like all 10 fought the Elder Brain and there was like that multifaceted battle for Cliffs Bay. I think we will see a couple more like big Avengers style like team ups like that. But yeah, in the meantime, like little touchstone messages. I really enjoy that kind of stuff. Penny wants to kill as many Mind Flayers as she can because she feels like it'll fill an empty void. Yes. Because she feels like it will fill an empty void. Yeah, that's the true sanity damage. It's just that like that ever present. Yeah. I'm getting sucked into like the Eldritch void thinking about it. So I'm gonna move on to the next question. What are your theories and predictions for the rest of the campaign? We've talked about the Jewish Batara Liar a little bit. We've talked in past Only Finses. We've talked a little bit about the Dreaming God, Azathoth, and the Mind Flayers and some of that. You can rehash that if you want to, but otherwise, like, what other aspects are you thinking of or mulling over?
I mean, there hasn't been much evolution on that theory. I still think that's what they're up to. They're trying to destroy the magic items so we can't stop them. I mean, that's pretty simple, straightforward. I don't know if that's a theory as much as I believe it's a fact. but I guess I don't know it's a fact, so that much makes it a theory. I do think that they're trying to burn stuff to make that storm come back, too. I think that's part of their plan, is that they want that storm to come back. I don't know why they want him to wake up, but I think that it has to do with taking over his brain. They're going to try and like wake him up while they're escaping and then like confront him or be the only thing. Like when, you know how when you wake up from a dream and you can only remember one thing, they want to be that one thing.
Ooh.
So they got to wipe out everything else first. That's pretty much my theory on that. I really don't know. I do think... I do worry about Abraham's career, because he's been really good lately. So I have a... not much of a theory, but a worry that I'm going to get a performance review again, and it's not going to be great.
Man, we're coming up on a really fun arc, like hearing you lay out all of that and knowing what's about to come.
Wow, he's going to use it all against you there.
Hey, you know, it is what it is. I'm here for it.
Right.
I didn't make it up, all right? It's all been kind of leading up to this, so.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at the same jigsaw puzzle. I'm just trying to figure out the right order to present, like, the pieces. Right. So, yeah, that's fun. That's exciting.
You're putting together the border pieces and Cody's just like randomly putting two together and throwing it on the table.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I will say that the people of Shekiodai better be nice to Abraham, because otherwise they could be in for it. They could be getting
Shekiodai is a volcanic island. I'm just going to let that sit.
They could be in for it. Yeah. I don't know how I could use a volcano to my advantage, but I'm sure there's a way.
Same question, I guess. Like, what are your theories, any of you? and predictions for specifically the next session. We left off on a cliffhanger. We're going to resolve it in 2 weeks. We're going to have the whole crew back, and we're going to have this massive confrontation with a Kraken and some Mind Flayers and a Shark Folk. Yeah.
I forgot.
Yeah, that's where we're at.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Being on a boat ain't as great for Abraham as it is for Jack. I do have some tricks up my sleeve, but I've used a lot of my cards. And like I said, being out in the middle of nowhere on an ocean isn't super helpful for Abraham with a lot of his stuff. So I really don't know. Shoot it with Eldritch Blast.
Kind of all fails, right? Eldritch Blast.
Hopefully the Kraken can be moved 10 feet at a time. Away from the ship.
Kind of like that Hydra.
Oh my God. I forgot about that. Yeah.
I love that moment.
That was so good.
That was great. Yeah. That was also the moment when I busted out the wall walking thing, and no one knew that I could do that, I don't think.
Right. Because it was spike growth, and then you... What's the spell that made you make the spike growth worse? Was that...
Plant growth?
Yeah. Yeah, so then the Hydra, at full speed, could only move 10 feet at a time, and it finally reached you, and you just pushed it back with Eldritch Blast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do have one thing, but it would... It really depends on the encounter. I have one trick up my sleeve, but like I said, it just depends on the encounter. If it's like, oh, the Kraken wraps itself around the boat and rips the masts off, I'm like, well, so much for that idea. I don't even know what this crew would do if that happened, because we don't have Moriarty.
Right.
That's
why I'm curious to find out.
Yeah, Captain Pete, get on it.
Right.
He's gonna be like, "It's your boat, partner."
It's in the contract.
Bullshit.
All right.
You can die.
If Tor has to push a boat all the way to the next port, I'm gonna be pissed.
Yeah, get in the water.
We're not too far. Not too far from the next port, right? There's a little group of islands we're coming up.
A week to 10 days. Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be all right.
Right.
I think the best bet would just be pushing it to Narrow. Isn't that the closest, like a couple days off?
Yeah, but it's like underwater. Not a problem for Tor, I think, but
yeah, it's not an issue for Tor.
Not a problem for Abraham.
That's right.
It's just like
we could go down there and be like, hey, and then they're like, you just missed Jack and them. They were literally just here.
It'd be hilarious. Yeah.
It's not gonna come to that, guys.
Time share.
Ass.
Right, you usually do.
Summon a slod.
Please have it infect the Kraken.
I can if you want.
That's right. Yeah.
You think I watched that fucking wizard summon an interdimensional monstrosity in front of me and not learn how to do it too?
Just give me more things to play with.
I learned the spell because I wanted to summon shades. I think that's the other thing I can summon with it. But then Tyrell rolls in and is like, I use it to summon slots. I'm like, fucking monster.
I'm still worried about the grand scheme of things. What would happen if, you know, like slots infected mind flares, and then, you know, it was just like a unending cesspit of slots being birthed, infecting mind flares infecting the slots and becoming more mind flares, and it just
So here's my question. Slots work in a weird way where it's like, if you can cast spells and you get infected by a slod, you become a specific kind of slod. So, like, wouldn't all mind flayers become green slots or whatever? green mind flayer slods. And then green slods make red slods or something like that. But
it has been 6 months since I've looked at the wording of these two, so I'm going to have to plead the fifth.
They have a really weird mind reproductive slod system where they don't just immediately birth the same kind, though. I know that.
No, right. I was just meaning an endless cycle of slod infects a mind flayer, mind flayers infect the slod, turns it into a new mind flayer.
Once you see a slod reproducing with seromorphosis, you know you're in trouble.
Effective mind flayer burst hundreds of slods.
Yeah.
Rinse and repeat.
I'm still excited to use the Elder Brain Dragon stat block at some point. I'm sad that it wasn't that one dragon that I liked.
Nuh-uh. We took away your dragon. You took away that dragon.
There are other dragons. You get it.
We foiled the plot.
I think we're about ready to wrap up here. I'll comment. I'm still nowhere near like finished with One Piece, but I've watched a chunk of it. I really enjoy it. I did finish Our Flag Means Death, and sadly they're not renewing it. So season two was.
I know, man. That's so lame.
That's good.
Yeah. I was really pissed
when they really, really pissed when they canceled it. But it ends on kind of a definitive note. Without any spoilers.
Yeah, it really does end okay. Like, for a show to get canceled and when it wasn't, like, planned to. Yeah, it ends on an okay note.
Which is all you can ask for sometimes. Many a show that I've gotten into has been canceled abruptly, and then there's no good ending, and here's what happens.
Yeah,
right.
You just gotta make it up in your mind. I was pretty sad about it, though. It was a really great show.
Yeah, it was.
What arc of One Piece are you on?
I don't remember. I think they do divide it into seasons.
What was going on?
I can tell you. I think this is still pretty early, and the order is. It's been a while because I've been watching. Our Flag Means Death, and then I got caught up on Marvel stuff. Loki and Echo are both really good. Like, Marvel has done good work with those shows. But One Piece.
I haven't checked out Echo yet.
Echo is TVMA, and it's the first Disney Plus Marvel TVMA show that they've done. So it feels more like the original, like, Daredevil series. I'm not quite done with Echo. I've still got a couple episodes, but it's good. Anyway, One Piece. I met the clown pirate.
Oh yeah.
I met
it's my favorite villain.
Is he? That makes sense. Yeah. He's a fun villain. The crew member that they meet, I can't remember his name. I think he's your favorite, Cody. The one who he's introduced, he's always a liar.
Usopp is my favorite right up until they meet Franky.
Okay.
And then Franky kinda steals the show for me. But Usopp's great. I love him.
Yeah, okay, so I think I took a break when they were sailing off with Usopp, having joined the crew. So I think that's like 10 or 12 episodes. It's a nibble compared to what there is.
Right.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Do you have dipped your pinky toe in?
Yeah.
There's a part in Usopp's arc, though, that's just so sad or whatever, when you find out why his, like, friend is sick all the time and why her parents died and why everything's shit for his life.
Yeah.
Well, except for the fact that his dad never is around. That's just because his dad's just never around. But
yeah,
does come with his dad's job.
Yeah. Well, his dad's a pretty cool character too, except for that he's not the best dad, but he inspired Usopp to be who he is, so I guess that's good.
Yeah, that's something.
A lot of the fans don't care for Usopp. He's like one of the most hated crew members.
I won't say I outright hate him, but I don't like him nearly as much as the other ones.
That's part of why I like him, I think. It's just because I'm like, this guy is not as bad as you guys all say. Like, he's not he's not that bad of a character.
See, nobody tried to talk up Usopp to Cody, And so he didn't have this automatic negative
right image of him. Yeah. Right.
I found him on my own. I was like, oh, yeah, this guy's awesome. There's like three times when he stayed up saves the day where it's like, well, without this character, we would have been straight up fucked. It doesn't happen often, but there's a couple of times that I can think of off the top of my head when it's just like, we're all fucked. And then Usopp's just like, does something incredibly stupid and saves the day.
Yeah. My favorite, I mean, I'm still like really early in, but my favorite was the pirate, like, captain or first mate who gives the straw hat to the main character. Oh,
Shanks.
Yes, Captain Shanks. Yeah.
That guy, he is literally, I like him too. I can't remember how they put it, but it's like the most loved character for the least amount of effort or whatever. He's like never around. He's never on screen.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just kind of exists and people are like, that's my favorite character. And yep. Like that guy who's never done anything.
Yeah. I didn't know that was a thing with that character, but I fall right into that category. Yeah.
A lot of people really like him and he just, he shows up, he gives him the hat. I mean, he's super important and it's like, he's gonna be an end game. Like there's going to be a whole arc about when they finally cross paths again.
Yeah.
But he's not around a whole lot for the whole other 1,000 episodes.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. When he stares down the sea serpent in like the flashback, I'm like, yep, he's the one.
Yeah. He's a cool character for sure.
Yeah.
I do like him. I definitely think that my favorite character in the whole series is Goldie Roger. The man who, you know, there once was a man named Gold Roger who was king of the pirates. You know that guy? He had fame, wealth, and power beyond your wildest dreams. Before they hung him from the gallows, these were the final words he spoke. My fortune is yours for the taking, but you'll have to find it first. I left everything I own in one piece. And since then, pirates from all over the seas have set sail for One Piece, the treasure that would make their dreams come true. That guy?
Yeah. Yeah, that
guy. You know?
He's absolutely my favorite character. I based Jack off of Gold Roger.
Hmm, okay.
A little bit. Loosely. He's in the pot.
Yeah. He decided to be a pirate.
I was kind of like, what if Roger was a fish man, was like kind of part of the inspiration for like the whole baseline of the character. Because you haven't gotten to them very much yet, but the fish men are really cool in One Piece. I really like them.
Yeah, I've heard that. I don't think I've seen any of them yet, but I know they're...
He has not met them yet.
Next arc.
It's like, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll have to let us know what you think about Arlong.
It's two arcs, or it is the one arc, but...
You're right.
Once I get back to it, it'll go fast. I've got to finish Echo. There's a couple other things, like vampire-themed, I've got to rewatch.
You're definitely not wrong to watch it in chunks. That's the way I do it, too. Like, I'll watch 100 episodes and then be like, dude, I got to take a break.
Yeah.
But then I always binge it again.
Yeah.
I'm like halfway through the series. I love it, but I'm only halfway through the series.
Right.
I've been watching it for years.
But I think I'm like 1% through the series.
Yeah. I watched like the first three seasons so many times. Because first there was like a 4Kids translation. I watched all of it. Then they redid it. I watched all of it. Then I didn't watch One Piece for like 7 years or, you know, for years and years and years. And, man, I think it was Pippin and his brother, and they just went on and on about it. I'm like, man, I've watched, like, bunches of it, but just these first three seasons, like, over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Then, you can't deny Tyrell in that equation as well, because he's also...
talks about it all the time, for sure.
Yeah.
But, like, Pippin's brother has, like, Luffy as his, like, icon and, like, all this stuff, and... Well, not anymore, actually. He changed it recently. But for years, it was One Piece. I watched it a lot with Pippin's brother. Pretty great show.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like there's a really question. We like a something we're supposed to do every Liamans Tiny Chat that we haven't done, and I can't remember what it is.
Liamans or OnlyFans? Like a
I know what I meant, but I said the opposite.
Science Only fact.
The science fact.
The science fact. Man,
I keep seeing this I'm thing going around that. That the moon is rusting. I think the moon is rusting. Though.
Okay. Like iron ore in it is oxidizing.
Yeah.
But it needs air to do that.
That's the part I'm on as well. I'm like, how is it oxidizing?
Mars is entirely oxidized though, so and but Mars doesn't have an atmosphere either.
I mean, but it's always been thought that at one point it probably had the ability to atmosphere and water on Mars. So
right. Martians do exist. We found microbes in the ice caps of Mars. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say that that's definitive and authoritative, and if it's not, then that's our like mistranslated science fact for the episode. Martians are real.
It's like, but like as far as like I can't think of any reason why the moon would be iron would be.
I don't know why either. It's just a NASA.gov. The moon is rusting and researchers want to know why.
Well, now I want to know why, because it doesn't make sense in my brain. I mean,
Mars has long.
I'm not a rocket scientist.
The moon. I'm just glad that was the caption and not like the moon is rusting and it's going to cause the end of the world. Like we have enough things out there that could do that. We don't need the rust on the moon to
add that to the medley. Yeah.
NASA, those just titles that are misleading, but you have clickbait. It's the best NASA clickbait thing they could have for the moon. It's like, how does this make sense? And then it's like, well, that was just clickbait. Here's this article about something completely different.
I kept seeing TikToks about it, and so I looked it up, and I was like, oh, NASA says so. You know what they say about NASA, though? Never a straight answer. That's my science fact. I don't really have another.
Here's my science fact. I'm gonna tie this kind of into the wrap up because it's also like in some ways a promotion. Mythcraft's next Kickstarter, Veil of the Eternal Night, is going to launch on January 30th. So that's a massive gothic horror vampire campaign for Mythcraft, which is like the game system that Grant and Andy and Jake and I wrote, and for D&D, releasing them like in parallel. So if that interests you, definitely go and like sign up for the pre-launch, votin.mythcraftrpg.com or theeternalknight.com. Both will take you to information about this. Again, launches January 30th. It's another Kickstarter. That has obviously had me thinking a lot about vampires. Cody's been doing vampire movie nights. And so that's going to bring me to my science factoid, which is vampires can, like, you don't see them in mirrors, but they can show up on any type of digital camera, film camera, any of that. I think that there's no reason, like, just because they don't show up on mirrors, I'm not sure why. But mirrors are different than recording devices in some way. The reason being, we have vampire movies. It has to work. Otherwise, it would just be, there'd be no one to watch.
It's just good logic.
Yeah.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to say it. So are you implying that all the actors that play vampires in movies are actually vampires?
I don't see what other option there would be.
Okay.
Obviously. Yeah.
Why do you think it is scientifically that vampires don't show up in mirrors? I mean, I always assumed that was a hypnosis thing. You know, they have hypnosis. I always assumed that it had something to do with, like, hypnotizing people to not perceive them
I never thought of it that way. That's an interesting take on it. I always assumed it was the, like, because they were undead, they were supposed to be, like, it was, like, symbolizing there was, like, a lack of, like, a soul or something like that there, but...
I always thought the mirror captured the soul in, like...
Yeah, that's interesting, yeah. Though, idea of, like, the hypnosis. If that's the thought, then it even, I feel like, is a better argument for the why pictures can be captured of them, because you can't hypnotize, like, a machine like that, but you could maybe manipulate something natural, because, like, a mirror is just glass on top of, like, metal, right?
Right.
Could be. Interesting.
Thanks for hanging out, Sketch.
Doodle Sketch.
I have seen some weird stuff about, like, the blood of the young can sustain the old.
like
as a youth serum.
Like the people who will, like, do, like, the blood transfer stuff. Yeah, I've seen stuff about that too.
There's a made up name for, like, a made up chemical that you get from young blood.
Adrenochrome.
Like adrenochrome. Thank you. Yeah, yeah.
That's what all the celebrities do. Yep.
Right, right.
But no, I'm pretty sure there's, like, an actual thing where it's like, they literally will transfuse, like, blood from a young rat to an old rat, and it resuscitates the old rat.
Huh.
I mean, there.
I don't know what it is.
Weird.
But it's not like a boiled down chemical called adrenochrome. It's just.
Right.
It's literally just like a blood transfusion. Yeah. That could be our fake science fact. I don't know if that's true.
We have a healthy roster of candidates for fake science from this episode. Thank you, Pippin, for catching that.
You are welcome. I felt like we were missing something. I don't
know. Yeah, wouldn't be OnlyFans without it. All right. Well, I think that is it for the night. Thank you, everyone, for joining us for this episode, this edition of OnlyFans. We will be back 2 weeks from now for continuing the main campaign, To Whom the Sea Belongs. We'll see you then.
See you then. Bye.
Bye.